That's True Love there, Pink featuring Lily Allen. Now, I'm already going to welcome my guest because she's very efficiently been on time. Ellie Dixon is here. Good afternoon, Ellie. How are you?
Hello, I'm very good.
Now, you had no trouble getting here, which is good.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, but you said you came on the train, so...
Reliable today, apparently, so...
Yeah, exactly. I was looking, I was checking for you as well. It's all good, all good. Yeah. So, tell me a little bit about what you've been up to. So, you're a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And you were just telling me you sort of self-produce everything, but when did it all kind of start, and when did you get your influences, or... just tell us a bit of your background before we start.
Yeah. Well, so I've been doing the sort of solo artist thing for kind of a while now, about 5 years. I started taking up singing when I was about 14, 15, and then realised I loved it and started to take it a bit more seriously, started writing songs. It was kind of quite a natural progression.
Were you learning guitar at that point, or you already knew it?
Yeah, no, I learned guitar for singing, basically.
That's great.
I started singing and then thought, right, I need some backing. I played piano, but it's not a portable instrument. I've tried. It's a nightmare. So,
Or if you're just a singer, then you have to have somebody to do that for you, so you're ending up relying on somebody else or a band.
And things like writing and practicing songs. If you're not the one playing it, it's arranging practice and things. And I love playing instruments as well, is the bottom line. So taught myself guitar and, then just started playing, really. I've always kind of liked producing, quote-unquote. I played with, kind of when I was younger, playing with, you know, the sorts of, simple computer programs that would let you make songs.
I mean, there is a lot now, isn't there? You can actually self-produce in your...
Yeah, it's amazing.
If you know what you're doing as well, and you've got a kind of ear for it. And
it's a lot of practice, definitely. Yeah. But, I mean, I started...
I don't want to downgrade any music producers out there, because obviously they do...
Doing it properly is hard, but it is very accessible to get into, I guess. Yeah. I was just dragging and dropping loops,
I don't mean this in a bad way. You said you started 5 years ago, which sounds, it's quite a long time, but you're not very old now, are you? How old are you now?
I'm 21.
Yes, I thought so. I was just checking that wasn't an old post. I thought, I didn't say, oh no, that was written 5 years ago. Yeah. But so you've done a lot in your 21 years already. And, you've done university.
Finished. Just graduated this summer. So it's basically, I have been producing and making music for the last 5 years, but it's always been alongside academia, basically. Yeah, yeah. So there's just not been that time or that freedom to just...
You carried on while you were at university, though.
Yeah. In my final year, last year, it was amazing. I managed to get a band together and we were gigging. I mean, I was doing two or three gigs a week top of my degree, and it was crazy, but it was really good fun. But it just limits you with what you can do, because I couldn't say yes to big projects because I had exams or something.
Yeah, and you couldn't really go probably that far away from where were you studying?
Warwick.
That's right.
Coventry area.
Yeah, so you couldn't really go much further. So the world's your oyster again now.
Basically, yes. I've moved back home, so there's not the financial pressure for the moment for paying rent, for example.
That's what parents are for.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that one.
Yeah, because once you get on the rent ladder, you've got to have a job, you've got to have that income, so...
Yeah, and that'll restrict your music again.
Exactly. Then I think a big problem for artists is where you draw the line on now I'm professional, because there's loads of people in that in-between stage where they're still working part-time, but they're gigging and they're making some money, but it's not quite enough, and it's when you call the shot.
And it's literally just paying for the next bit, isn't it, rather?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen that. There's a great saying somewhere that, some musicians... You do your job just to go out and perform. You don't ever get, the money. You don't get that. I can't remember what the proper saying is for it, but basically you're always running behind with music because you're doing it because you love it. There is a point when you can swap over, and then you suddenly start seeing it. So what made you decide to stay a solo? You just said you've got a band together. Would you consider that in the future, or you always do you think you're going to be? You don't know yet.
So the band was... I mean, it was absolutely fantastic, and it was all my songs, but we were playing them, arranging them for a band setup, and I absolutely loved it. I would love to play with the band again. And currently that's another thing that I'm trying to figure out, because obviously I don't have a massive amount of means, and getting musicians together, and then you're paying for rehearsal space and organising people.
And then whatever you make... you've got to split it between you.
Yeah, well, that too.
It's quite good there's less travel. I guess also that's the other thing. If once you start employing a band, you need to have some sort of transport to take all the instruments and things, like you're saying about the piano. It's good to have a guitar that you can just carry, like you said, on the train.
Exactly. I mean, there's massive upsides to being a solo artist in that it is just you. You rock up and you play. I mean, it's just, I can take my guitar wherever and it's not
just
a problem.
Plug in.
Yeah, exactly. But then you don't have that big sound. There's nothing like playing with a band and having that impact.
So that's quite good that you could do both, and it's on your songs and you're on your terms, if you like.
That's true.
But you said about that not making a big sound. Now you use looping techniques, don't you?
Yes.
Is that the right term?
Loop pedal.
Yeah. So I mean, they've kind of been made famous by people like Ed Sheeran, but people have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was younger, I mean, a loop pedal was my absolute fantasy because I'd see various YouTube videos of people doing it and I just thought it was incredible.
No, I saw you at the NMG, the later ones where you performed on stage and, you know, you can make a big sound from a loop pedal. If you want to explain to people that might not know what the effect is.
So basically it's a big box with some pedals on it, and you press the pedal with your foot and it'll start recording, and you play in something, then you press it again, and as soon as you press it, it plays that audio clip that it's recorded on a loop, and then you can keep adding more and remove stuff and all sorts.
I mean, it's a whole skill in itself, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's not just, it just does it for you. You've got to, you've got to be on it for getting your foot at the right time.
Yeah.
I know Newton Faulkner uses it a lot as well, or used to. I presume he still does. And he used to, because he always just have his shoes off when he was playing on stage.
Because exactly,
you can get, because otherwise you can't get your foot across in the right places.
I've tried with trainers, but you end up smacking the wrong button and swearing a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a thing. But it gives a great sound. Like, say, if anyone knows, that's the sort of thing, that's how people like Ed Sheeran build up a great big sound. Because and it's all you, which is, I think, is also really...
That's definitely what I'm kind of doing at the moment for gigs, is the loop pedaling thing, because it is so much fun, and it's got a real novelty to it. People know about loop pedals, but I think it's still not massively common, just from the amount of practice it takes.
I was going to say, it's a thing to watch it as well. It's like watching, you know, a craftsman build their thing, because you're seeing the whole piece build and like come down in front of you, which is, you can't do that ahead of time either, so I know you can put effects in, I guess, but
it lets people kind of see your method, which is quite nice, especially because a lot of my music, I rely on lots of layers. That's kind of the sound I really like, is lots of simple layers but joining them together, so it's quite nice that I can get that effect.
I saw that recently, there was Zara Larsson, wasn't it Zara Larsson track that you did?
Yes.
And she commented on that you'd used, was it elastic bands to to make an effect, which is fantastic. It does what it needs to, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's quite an impressive person to like you, isn't it, really?
Oh my gosh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
When I saw that she'd watched the cover, I lost my mind.
Now, you're going to play for us now.
Yes.
Now, you are doing some new work, but it's not ready to be released. Is that right?
Yes, it's not. It's on streaming site. Well, we'll
talk about that after you've played this one.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to play for us?
This song's called Yellow, and it's still in the works at the moment. I'm still producing it and stuff.
Oh, so this will go on to the new... Will this go on the new one as well?
It's not out yet. It's in the works, so I'm... Fingers crossed, maybe Christmas time, sort of time, maybe a bit after. But yes, it's kind of about mental health and how I like to kind of put on a smile or a brave face, even when you're feeling a bit rubbish, because I think it helps kind of put the happy inwards.
Yeah.
So, that's what this one's about.
Excellent. So it's called Yellow.
Yes.
Lovely.
Put your smiles all over town. Open one of them, stick they don't suit you at all. Hoping desperately for a win, but it's all just coloring in of the black and white spaces you found. And honey, I know you've been trying your best, but maybe it's time to start afresh. Cover it in yellow, yellow. Maybe the sunshine will find its way in. Oh, yellow, yellow. Maybe you'll forget how sad you've been. If you've been papering over the cracks, and honey, there's no shame in that. Yellow, yellow, maybe our best bet. Putting paint up on the walls, trying to find which color goes, even though you feel nothing at all. Trying to put the pictures up, but the walls ain't strong enough, and the bricks begin to fall. And honey, I know you've been trying your best, but maybe it's time to start afresh. And honey, I know you've been trying your best, but maybe it's time to start afresh. Cover it in yellow, yellow. Maybe the sunshine will find its way in. Oh, yellow, yellow. Maybe you'll forget how sad you've been. You've been papering over the cracks, and honey, there's no shame in that. Yellow, yellow, maybe our best bet.
Lovely, thank you very much. I'll do a little clap myself. Thank you very much. So that you said that's in the process of going into the works there.
Yeah, it's been written for a while actually. I wrote it basically this time last year and gigged with it a lot, especially at uni, and it was a massive hit when we played it with the band. But it's become one of those songs where I've played it live so much that I've got around to producing it. And because you're so used to how it sounds live, removing yourself from that and then...
And not thinking, oh, that's not right.
Yeah, trying to produce... Because you can't produce things exactly how you play them live because it either doesn't have the impact or it doesn't sound right, especially because the way I produce things, they tend to be very full, mm-hmm. very kind of poppy and lots of sounds, whereas, yeah, even with a band, you're still sort of two guitars, drums and a bass. Mm-hmm. So... It's been quite a challenge trying to produce.
So,
that.
Do you think that'll be your next one out, or you?
Hopefully, yeah. after the new one. After
oh, oh, so yes, so you're working on new music.
Yes, so I've got one coming out on the 4th of October, November. Sorry.
And where will people find that if they want to look
everywhere.
For it? Excellent. So,
Spotify,
if they look, iTunes. If they go onto your page, which is. Is it just
elliedixonmusic.com?
Okay.
Or searching Ellie Dixon, Facebook, Twitter, everything.
And then they'll be able to find that on there.
Yes, I won't shut up about it, so it's going to be everywhere.
And talking about that, will you be doing any more gigs? You're doing Oxjam next week.
Yep. This is where I need my phone on me. I'm playing.
So Oxjam, did we think 5 o'clock?
Yes.
5 o'clock at the Alex. Next Saturday, 26th, as part of Ox Jam.
Yes. Then I'm supporting a band called Sarpa Salpa at the Blue Moon.
Oh, yes.
In November.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact date. November 29th, I want to say.
Okay.
I think it's 29th.
We'll say that. And you'll have all this up somewhere if people want to.
Yes, I'm posting all my gigs. I post on Facebook, Instagram, everything.
That's another local, nice local one as well.
Yeah, it's such a nice venue. I actually filmed a cover, an original there 3 years ago now. It's really, really nice. There's others. It's one of those things where as soon as you...
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I should have warned you beforehand.
I've actually got a gig in London at the Old George in Bethnal Green on December 12th.
So it's good to see you're back in the area though and back in
so
you're back
Cambridge,
around
London,
here now.
I'm
perfect.
Cramming in as much as possible, and there's gigs that within November and December as well that I'm currently arranging. So
perfect.
There's lots of me around. So.
Excellent. Well, that's a very good thing. Thank you ever so much for coming in this afternoon. And I'll look forward to seeing you at the Ox Jam Festival next Saturday too. I'm just going to say thank you very much, and I'm going to do the travel now.